Hey, it's Alessia Cara, and you're listening to The Dana Cortez Show.
A couple of days ago, this past weekend, I actually had a massage. It was so fabulous, but it kind of went a little differently than I thought. So let me explain. Good morning, it's The Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
I went for a massage and a facial. So I've never had a massage at this place. And I walk into a business that I have a membership with. We'll just say that. And first time that I'm getting my massage therapist, and I see her coming toward me, and she's blind.
Oh.
Yeah, so right away she stands
up. Like with the cane and everything?
Everything. She's 100% needs assistance. And I said, man, I don't know how to turn this chair off. She said, it's on your left-hand side. Walked into the massage room. I sat down. She asked me what I needed, what I wanted. And she said, I'm medium pressure. Is that okay? I said, yes. And then I started to wonder, is this going to be a different kind of massage?
Where is she going to know to push down on you because she doesn't know your body because she's never seen you before?
I thought she was going to be better because I've read that when you are missing one of your one of your senses, the rest overcompensate for it. This was the most wonderful massage I've ever had. Not ever, it was good.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like the movie Ray Charles, where he gets like the heightened senses.
Exactly.
Because of one skill. Yeah, I want to present Gee. Like, was that one of the best massages you've ever
seen? One of the best massages ever. She's the Ray Charles of massages. Just like Anthony said. Yes, the other senses.
I don't know that we're going to call her that, okay?
Well, why not? She got it. She did it. And I'm going to tell you right now, I was apprehensive at first, and shame on me. I'm being real. And I just had like this moment thinking, oh my gosh, this is amazing, because you don't see it a lot. And she didn't care, and she didn't like make a big deal of it. And I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
You definitely weren't self-conscious in there, were you?
Automatic, no. I was not self-conscious in there, not even a little bit. And then I had a facial right after that. I had such a great weekend. I mean, that was an hour and a half of massage, an hour of a facial. I felt really good when I was done. And I found my people. My freaking facialist was amazing. Or what is it called? Esthetician. It was so good. I fell asleep during both. I fell asleep during the massage, and I told her, I'm sorry if I fall asleep. I'm a little tired. She said, that's a compliment. I woke myself up snoring. I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed.
Well, not as embarrassed as I felt. I felt super old this weekend because I was DJing a pool party and one of my friend's kids showed up and they're like, hey, what's going on?
And I was like, she's old enough to go to the party.
And that's what I was like, this is where we're at in life.
DJ Automatic. All right, Anthony, National Day.
All right, we'll start with National Patch Day. Now, this is actually pretty cool. It's encouraging everybody to, if you can, donate a patch to somebody you may think want to put on their jacket. We're talking any type of rock band patch or any patch you may have earned.
Oh, see, I thought you meant patches like the ones that you put
in
the
your
jeans.
Knees.
Yeah,
mom used to put in my knees because I used to wear my knees out all the time.
And Automatic, now you pay for the holes in the knees. You know, where were those jeans back then on my body? And nobody thought they were cool. All right, what's next, Ant?
And we'll wrap it up on National Take Your Lunch Break Back Day. This is encouraging everybody to own their lunch break at work. And a recent study shows that lunch breaks are getting increasingly shorter in the workplace, which is detrimental to productivity. So if you want to be more productive, take a longer lunch.
And this is why you should all go eat with me, because I eat slow. We get to take our time.
You won't even make yourself back to work if you go with you.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I wasn't sure if I was doing this right or not, like my bra washing. I have a few bras. I don't have a lot of bras. I've got quite a few bras. In fact, I just bought some bras. Jesse, the other day on Automatic's like, why are you buying those bras? I only buy new bras like once every 2 years.
If that. I still have bras from high school.
Same. And I'm a lot older than you, girl. A lot older. And my breast size has changed several times, too. Okay. So I wash my bra about every 2-3 wears.
Oh, my God.
Okay. How often do you wash your bra?
Get ready for this. Never.
What do you mean, Jesse? What do you mean, never?
I probably still have sweat from high school.
Why don't you wash them?
I think I just threw up in my mouth.
You Automatic. So I'm going to buy you a bra bag.
What is that?
So you put the bras in the baggie and you zip it up and you toss them in the washer and they don't get all messed up, because I'm sure you don't like washing them because they get all tangled up into everything.
I mean, do bras really need to be washed?
Yes, girl.
They're underwear.
No, okay.
No, they're not underwear.
No, okay, I wear boxers.
Bra?
Okay,
different.
I wear boxers. Hmm. If I was like, oh, it's not really touching me, should I wash my underwear? That sounds weird,
you're
right?
You're a boy.
I broke up with a girl because of this.
Oh.
You and I would not get
automatic. You broke up with a girl over her bra washing?
Yes.
Okay.
What was wrong with the bra? You could just tell it wasn't washed, or what?
Well, the thing was, I thought she only had one bra, and I would always see it hanging. And then I started realizing, I was like, does she just wear the same bra every day? And it started grossing me out because I started thinking, what if I wore the same underwear every day?
It's not the same.
How is it not the
underwear
same?
Underwear is not undergarment. Right? An undergarment 100%. Is not near your nether regions.
There are things coming out.
But your
bra.
Yeah.
Sweat still. It still sweats.
Look, sports bra, different. Bra?
Thank you.
I don't know.
Girl, you need to wash your bras, though. I'm going to gift you a bra bag so you can do that. I thought I was off, but you said you Googled it, and I'm okay. 2 to 3 wears?
I did. I was feeling insecure, so I Googled it just to find out that you are supposed to wash your bras every 2 wears.
Okay.
So pat yourself on the back. Some of us are barely surviving over here.
If I buy you a bra bag, are you willing to throw them in there and throw them in the wash?
I'll probably tell you yes to your face, but
no, because I want you to film the water. I want to see the color of the water.
Oh, don't do that. I want to know the reasoning.
I'm sick like that.
I want to know your reasoning. Why don't you want to wash your bras, Jesse?
It's not that I don't want to. I just never thought that they needed to be washed.
Yeah. I mean, you're not a stinky person. I will say that. You're very.
I smell good.
Yeah, yes, Jesse smells good.
If I didn't tell you that I didn't wash my bras,
I would have never known.
You would have never known. Well, now everyone knows. No, you had to. I thought it was just
Jesse, you have
denim.
To wash your bra.
How often do you wash denim?
Once a year if they're high-end. Like, even Levi's says once a year. The Levi's website says once a year. If you have, I mean, I'm wearing some not-so-expensive jeans. I'll do these, like, once a month.
Levi's has ever been to Houston Rodeo and that bunch of sweat that goes on in there. Because I got to wash those right after Rodeo.
Rusty?
Yeah, dude.
Is it rusty?
Well, you're actually supposed to put them in the freezer.
What? Oh.
For what? To freeze
them? Because it freezes all the bacteria, and that's what they... I bought some Japanese denim, and they were like, don't ever wash them. Just put them in the freezer.
Oh, my God. I'm putting all my bras in the freezer.
There you go.
Thank you, Otto.
And it'll feel really good.
Yeah,
when you get
okay.
No, I'm with Anthony. I'm sorry. If it, you know, if it's musty, I don't care how much freezing you do. And your Japanese jeans, by the way, I've washed them. Because you got to powder the donuts, mm-hmm. and even then, they drip. Mm-hmm. And see, it's like a sports bra situation right down there.
If it's a sports bra and I'm working out,
you got
to
wash it.
I feel the need to defend myself. I'm like, listen to me.
She's
listen
like, I'm
to
not
me.
Filthy.
I wash my sports bras.
No, but Jesse, you can't be a cochina. We're going to buy
what
you.
What is that?
Dirty girl. We have to buy your bra.
None of it really matters as long as you guys ain't wearing that nasty beige one.
First of all, my beige bra is adorable.
That's the only bra she had.
Your girlfriend.
That's why I knew. I was like, there's that beige bra. It had a little like stain on it.
Dude.
No. Right
when you see that, when you get in a relationship and you start seeing that beige bra come out, sooner or later you're going to see her in between waxing appointments.
I feel attacked.
Girl, it's going to get real comfortable.
I feel attacked. You know what? Some of us have laser hair removal. Anyway.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Man, love is in the air. Jeff Bezos and his fiancée, Lauren Sanchez, are getting married. I'm not sure exactly the date, though. DJ Automatic's going to give us that. Also, some of the attendees. It is going to be fabulous. But first, Anthony A., famous people's birthdays.
Kelly from The Office, also known as, her real name is Mindy Kaling, celebrating her birthday, the very talented Mindy Kaling. And we also have Solange celebrating her birthday, Snow the Product, and Lanelle Messier.
Oh, I'm so glad that you mentioned Snow. Gotta love her. Also, Mindy Kaling, not only is she fabulous, funny, she's a writer. She's credited with writing The Office as well. So she's one of my favorites.
Hilarious.
This day is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Okay, so let's talk now about Jeff Bezos and his fiancée, Lauren Sanchez. They are currently in Venice, and the people there don't like him.
No, they don't want him there.
What?
They just put out a huge sign that said, if you can buy out Venice, you can pay more taxes.
Which is true. Why is Jeff Bezos paying less taxes than me? And most people, even teachers... he pays no federal taxes anyway. That's another show. But honestly, it looks like things are going to be really good. They're having an entire week of celebrations. They flew everybody out, of course, because he's mega rich. But who's attending this fabulous wedding, Otto?
So the list, from what they're saying, is pretty impressive. Kim K., Kris Jenner, Oprah Winfrey, Bill Gates, Ivanka and Jared Kushner, Beyonce and Jay-Z. Jeez. And then, of course, you know, Katy Perry and Gail King got to be there because they went to space with his wife.
So wait, that nips all the rumors in the bud that Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom weren't going to go together. Because if Katy Perry's there and Orlando Bloom's there, then that means they're together.
But this is all speculation from TMZ. I mean,
oh, automatic. Don't ruin it here, okay?
Katy Perry's on tour, so she has an excuse not to be there.
She'll be there. She'll be there. This is the kind of wedding that they better pay for everybody to go. If you're rich like that and you're inviting me to your wedding, I'm not going. You pay.
It's a 3-day event and there's going to be 200 people there.
You know, have you ever been invited to a wedding and they ask you to pay for stuff and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm broke. And now I got to be in your wedding. I got to buy a dress I may never wear again. I have to travel. The long distance weddings, what are they called? Destination weddings. Why does that have to come out of my pocket? Because you decided to get married in Mexico.
I just want to go hang out with Jeff. He's having phone parties on his boat.
Oh, I know, but I'm talking about the fact that sometimes these kind of weddings that are far away, it costs too much money for me. I don't have that kind of money.
I was actually in a wedding one time.
Okay,
that
automatic.
My friend Chris's parents paid for everything. They flew us out there, put us in the hotel, and we partied for like 3 days.
They're rich, rich. Is that the man who was on the New Mexico Supreme Court that married us?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Is it worth going to that kind of wedding? Have you ever been asked to pay to go to a wedding?
Destination wedding?
Or be in a wedding that cost you money?
Yeah. And the first thing I told my friend was, hey, fool, you better not get divorced for at least 2 years. This is a lot.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I can't even imagine possibly going to jail because I am saving the life of a dog. That's what happened to Suzanne, who is on the radio right now. I know everybody in my life loves pets. We love our dogs. They're like family. So you saw this dog. He's in distress. He's locked inside of a vehicle and he is panting. He needs help. Where were you when this happened, Suzanne?
I was leaving the gym. My gym is kind of like adjacent to a Wendy's restaurant. My car was parked closer to Wendy's. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to look up a few spots ahead of me. And I had seen a white dog kind of like perched up on the windowsill.
Oh, no.
So I decided to get out of my car and approach the vehicle to see if like there was any AC on or anything. There was not.
Suzanne, what was the temperature outside?
It was 90 degrees that day.
Jeez. And the dog is inside with barely any air. Okay. So you
Correct,
see the dog.
Yeah.
And what did you do?
So the first thing I did was I kind of just looked around in my surroundings. I was baffled. The owner has got to be here somewhere.
Right.
There was really no one else in the parking lot at the time. So I had walked into Wendy's. And there was no one in there. There was just one child in there. From the moment that I walked up to the car, the dog was panting heavily and was very clearly very uncomfortable and in distress. And that was when I decided that I was going to check to see if it was open. And it was.
So you didn't have to break a window. You didn't have to bust through a windshield.
Yeah.
So you just decided, I'm going to open this door. It was open. And you gave the dog some water. Now, a police officer approaches you. My next question is, did you call police or did someone else call authorities?
I called the police myself.
Right.
I just let them know, you know, what I had seen, what was going on. And I decided to call them to let them know that I wasn't willing to wait for an officer to get there because the dog, like I said, was already very clearly in distress. So I called just to let them know that I was going to be opening the car door to give the dog some air and some water.
And the way the officer reacted was shocking to me. You recorded it. Now we're going to play part of their interaction.
So just so all this is abundantly clear, this police officer is upset with me because I opened the door in 90 degree heat to give a dog water that was locked in the car.
That's fine. You're being videoed as well. So what right do you think you have to open someone's door?
I already told you. I don't think that I have a right. But all I said was that if there's a dog on a 90 degree day locked in the car panting, I'm going to give it water.
You have no right to do that.
Okay, you've already told me that.
obviously, this is why you started recording, because the interaction must have been confrontational from the very beginning.
When the police officer had pulled up, he did not address the owner of the vehicle or the owner of the dog at all, and just kind of immediately began berating me for breaking the law. And
Suzanne, wait a minute, isn't it against the law to leave an animal in a vehicle with no air conditioner on too?
It is.
So what is that? Yes, I don't understand what's happening here. You did the right thing. It might not have been the legal thing. You probably saved the dog's life. And for the owner to be upset with you makes me even angrier.
Well, you're probably ashamed of what he did.
Okay, cool. He should be ashamed.
Right. No, I totally agree. Yeah, he didn't seem to think that it was a problem. The owner kept telling me, you know, well, I had just taken my dog for a walk 15 minutes earlier. And I was like, sir, I'm not concerned with if you took your dog for a walk. Like, I'm not concerned about your dog getting a potty break. I'm concerned about your dog being locked in a hot truck on a 90 degree day.
So were you threatened with arrest? Did you get a ticket? What happened?
The police officer continuously, I mean, I think it was on at least two instances, maybe three, that the police officer just continually asked the owner, like, do you want to press charges? And the owner was like kind of in a rush, I think, wanted to get out of the situation as quickly as possible. So he said, like, no, I don't have time for this.
Everybody is like, we got your bail, girl. Okay, we got your bail.
Yeah, I know. I have been like, honestly, just so shocked by how far this story has gone and like the amount of support and outrage toward the officer. It's really kind of like restored my faith in humanity. I mean, so many people are just totally enraged over this.
Let's be real. We all love officers. When something happens, what's the first thing you did? You called police. Unfortunately, when we see something like this, this is why so many people get upset, the abuse of power. This could have been better handled by saying, hey, we're going to retrain the police officer to de-escalate situations. This wouldn't even be on the internet had he responded accordingly.
Right.
Wouldn't be having this conversation.
It's unfortunate too, because this particular officer oversees the canine units for Cornelius.
No. As well. No.
Yeah.
I don't want him around any dog. See, that's what I'm saying.
That would make sense why his belly was protruding through his vest. That's all I kept focusing on. I was like, yo, this guy doesn't run at all.
Right.
Sorry, I'm not trying to make any static for you, Susan. But
you were at the gym, he never goes. Yeah, but anyway.
You're not going to get into that.
Suzanne, I want to thank you for talking to us and updating us, but also for just being the kind of citizen that we need, that is willing to take a risk on doing the right thing. It takes a village. We talk about it. See something, say something.
Absolutely.
You know what? See something, do something too.
I've had so many questions about, like, do I have any regrets? And I was like, absolutely not. I would do it again. I would do it again in a heartbeat.
I love that. I love hearing that right there. So thank you so much for your time, Suzanne. We appreciate you for doing the right thing.
Bye.
Tell us what you think. Did she do the right thing? Would you have done?
She did the right thing.
Well, yeah, but takes guts. I mean, Suzanne almost got arrested. So go watch the video and then in the comments, tell us what you think.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
There's a man that has 106 kids, and I'm not even kidding you. His name is Perel DuRove. Now, he fathered six of these children the old-fashioned way. The other 100 plus, he donated sperm in 12 different countries.
What?
There are laws against this, by the way. This is completely unethical. And in the countries that allow it, that don't have as many laws, or that just started a crackdown on this, I think, horrible thing that some people are doing. Yeah, he just went out there and just gave it away.
Man.
To some single mothers, to some older mothers, to some younger mothers, just moms that wanted kids. And he is worth a lot of money. Okay?
So yeah, he's worth $17 billion and he's going to split it up amongst the 106 children he has.
He's a founder of an app called Telegram.
What?
So that's why he's worth. And Telegram, by the way, has been accused of some shady stuff, some criminal activity on there.
Obviously not a very ethical guy.
This is horrible.
Not ethical, but he has some potent swimming.
Yeah, he does. So I did the math on the $17 billion.
Yeah, how much is each kid going to get automatically?
$160 million each, but there's a catch. They have to wait till 30 years after he dies in order to get the money.
So he's waiting till they're adults.
Yeah, he said he wants them to have normal lives and not just rely on a bank account.
Nothing about any of these children is normal. What is he talking about? This is the weirdest, creepiest thing I've ever heard. Look, I've heard of blended families. This is ridiculous.
So, and then also, because you have all these kids, like after, you know, you have the original six, right? And
yes.
then the next
100 plus.
100 plus. They don't even know they're going to be related because it's kind
of. No, they
like,
do know.
No, they do know. He wants them to all. He has a relationship with a lot of these kids.
Well, that's cool.
No, it's not. The story behind this is he's part of this weird, odd group of men, and they're white, and they want to spread their seed. Swear. There's like a bunch of these guys that are in this group of...
So it's, obviously he's related to the guy that had like hundreds of kids?
They're not related.
Or like they're in the same group of people. Yeah,
there's a Netflix special about a man who fathered hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids with the idea that they want to grow the race.
All right.
I don't know.
That makes it even more weird.
No, what about the women that he preyed on? These are women who couldn't have kids.
I mean, he didn't prey on them. They're the ones who wanted a baby and he...
Yeah, but a lot of these people, they're lying. They're not admitting that they have the children till later. They're saying, oh, I don't have any kids. And the women are asking and they're lying and saying, oh, I've done this with five women. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then you find out you have there's 100 siblings out there.
At least they're going to get a fat inheritance. So that's
No.
160 million is no joke.
I had a sibling when I was 8 years old and nobody got an inheritance from that.
This man is in his late 40s. We're talking 30 years. Moms are going to be dead. They ain't getting nothing from this but worry. Imagine you have your child and now you have to think, my kid is related to all these people. They can never meet them. They can never date them. They can never, because it could be scary. You could run into somebody that you end up falling in love with that ends up being your brother or sister.
Oh, that's what you're thinking about?
What if it happens? They
had that problem with the other guy we were talking about that had hundreds of kids. And one of the countries, the parents all linked up because they don't want their kids in the same block. They don't want their kids to get together and have other kids.
Your guys' Netflix suggestion is wild. Whatever you guys are watching at home is way different than what I'm watching, dude. Because this is all news to me. And I want to believe this person's a bad guy. I trust you that he's not a good person. But he kind of sounds kind of cool because he's made 100 people millionaires. And that sounds kind of lit. No, I'm not knocking my dad.
In this economy, you do what you gotta do, right? You take what you can get.
160 million.
160. Oh, come on. That's a lot right there.
Unethical, but you're paid.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.